Blog Talk Radio.
Good early evening. It is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters, and today we have Jack Jodell from Minneapolis and myself, Gwen Berry, down in South Florida and up in the mountains of North Carolina. Okay, who did that? That was the separate introduction for our other round table, which is
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of interference there in the line, but
it's a backlash. Somebody's got a winder. Oh, winder.
Window open, yeah.
Yeah, browser window. But anyways, we also got from Asheville, North Carolina. Kim G is with us today of AWOC Radio and so much more. And we're brought to you by and part of, we're actually part of, the Commons Project Network. And we're going to open up this session of the Sunday show with a little memory for you. Okay. They stay the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now they would say hundreds of dead due to drones.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I thought of when I heard the song today when I was searching for music, I thought of all of those DHS troops that came in and supported and trained with the local or metropolitan police in places like Oakland, at Ogallala Plaza, and all through Zuccotti Park. And when people were in the streets in this country, and when people are in the streets of other countries now, and they're talking about not just ridding us of war, but also the great imposing famine on society. I mean, we've got no real backup going on here. There's a lot of what they call austerity measures being put in place worldwide.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, it's like people don't learn from the first time out. What was it we were saying? Hoover. It's like Hooverville. And you remember the Hoovervilles? That was also part of what happened before. They ousted all of the austerity measured folks from Congress, and they put a new president into office. And
it was one time that progressives really, really held the sway in American politics, and we benefited for 50 years afterward because of it. 70 years afterward.
Well, you have to give credit where credit is due. There was a lot of wonderful the WPA. There was a lot of wonderful programs that came out of what they call the Great Depression.
Right,
and
right.
The only thing that really brought us out of it was war.
But that's not entirely true, Gwen. That's a misconception that is not entirely true.
Educating,
we were making solid progress all the way up until 1937. The unemployment rate was dropping every single year. And what ruined it was Franklin Roosevelt paradoxically had just won a record landslide election in 1936 and won a second term. And all of a sudden he turned his ears to his conservative advisors who were afraid of inflation. So he shut off the clamps he put the clamps on the social spending, and immediately the country reeled back into a recession. And that, you know, and then finally it got out a year and a half later when we started supplying Europe with arms.
That is spooky, because that's what's really happening right now at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that's a bit of what's going on. So we were talking prior to the show about what you posted on over at Saturday Afternoon Post.
Right.
Yeah,
it's still up. It's called the Sly Tea Party campaign to circumvent our government. And it outlines how the Tea Party has, in some cases, not illegally, but taken power in an unseemly way because they haven't been truthful in their campaigning. And once they get into office, they start tearing everything apart and installing their authoritative agenda. And it's very anti-democracy. It's pathetic.
It's very private industry, isn't it?
Oh, big time. Well, the first thing they do is they start selling off public holdings to private investors. And, you know, I outlined about three different states, how it screwed up three different states. We all know about what happened in Wisconsin with all the workers being shut out of the collective bargaining process by Scott Walker, the Tea Publican governor. And then in nearby Michigan, Rick Snyder instituted an emergency manager program. What he did is he took over five or six different Detroit cities because they were showing financial stress or bankruptcy. And what he did is he completely got rid of their mayors and their city councils, completely overturned them, got them out of office, and he installed his own hand-picked, hand-pointed, hand-appointed emergency manager. You know,
bean
and it's a dictatorship.
Yeah,
it's a dictatorship if you live in Michigan.
It's not according to, you know, how you govern the country. It's not according to the Constitution at all.
No, not at all.
Completely, it fractures the bylaws of those small communities completely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about something about Carolina and how it goes on, the incidents in Carolina.
Yeah. Well, there, the Tea Party guy there is named Art Polk, and to the rest of the country, he's pretty well. He's not well known at all because he operates a lot like the Tea Party favorite Koch brothers in other part of the country. They're very secretive about how they do things. They're very sneaky on how they do things. They have two secret meetings every single year that nobody is allowed to know about. They invite certain people to come, and they discuss their right-wing agenda and how to put it into practice. And we all know they spend millions and millions of dollars to try and buy out politicians and influence elections and steal elections in some cases. And Art Pope has himself donated many millions of dollars. He's an owner and operator of of not only a huge their well-funded foundation that's, you know, backs conservatives, but he's also the owner and operator of a chain of hundreds of discount stores, dollar stores, in the state of North Carolina.
What's the name of the store?
For the first time since Reconstruction, they have a Republican governor. They have a Republican House overwhelmingly. They have a Republican Senate overwhelmingly. They have captured complete control for the Republican Party of what used to be a kind of a middle-of-the-road state, slightly conservative, but at one point it had a 7-6 congressional edge for the Democrats. Now it's 9-4 due to redistricting that they put into effect right away, too. It's 9-4 in favoring the Republicans, so it's pathetic what's going on, and it's all done real sneakily. They sneak into office. They don't tell you exactly what they're going to do. When they get in there, they start dismantling everything and putting it in their light.
Yeah, they're basically the engulf and devour crowd. They're about private industry. They're about making profits. They're about the community is not their first or even their last thought. The community the community is nothing but tools to be used to achieve a project.
Now, Kim, you live in Asheville, North Carolina, so you're aware of this stuff. Can you embellish on it a little bit?
Well, yes, I can. Art Pope is a pretty well-known guy here in North Carolina. He goes back a ways. And when you hear about privatization kinds of things going on and, who has the ears of the Republicans in Raleigh, who gets things for big business and breaks for corporations and over the best interest of, say, the people of of a region or even workers. I mean, one of the things that's made Art Pope his millions is running an outfit called Variety
Wholesalers Store. International.
Yeah, Wholesalers International. Yeah. And anyway, they run like discount stores. Like here in North Carolina, there's a store called Roses, for instance. It's like a really kind of antiquated, like your grandmother shops there kind of store. And then there's all the dollar stores, Super Dollar, all that kind of stuff. So, it's not the kind of place where workers are. Really cared for per se, but those are just a number of things. He has his fingers in a lot of pies are not happy things for the people of North Carolina. And now, apparently, I guess I'm not up to date on everything, but am I reading this correctly? Has he been appointed as a cabinet
deputy
member?
Budget manager or deputy budget director.
Okay, everybody, give me a moment. Okay, I did not know that yet. I have been very ill for the past week. I think I had food poisoning, but I did not know this had happened. Well, let me just say this. That should tell you everything you need to know about what's going on in Raleigh, North Carolina, America. I don't think we need to say more. If Art Pope is now in the cabinet of our state, okay, there you go. I don't think
we need
to really Google him.
You know,
Google him.
People should be made aware of his agenda, and it's not just his, but it's the far right's agenda. I mean, Kim, you know what else he's done? He's instituted, he's had a heavy hand in instituting discriminatory policies toward voters that are of minority background. For example, they've one of the first things they did when they took power is they voted to end the Souls to the Polls Sunday voting program, early voting program. And that, you know, that affects directly the African American community because it's been a very popular program adopted throughout the South, whereby the preachers they don't tell people how to vote, but they encourage them to vote, and they have buses going from churches right to the polls. And he's shut that out of there, out of North Carolina politics now. Let's see if it ever gets returned. I hope it does, but that's one of the things they've done. Well, all kinds of redistricting. They've done all kinds of bad things.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The gerrymandering. I think North Carolina is the second worst state in the country for gerrymandering.
Well, you should see,
they've cut up the map around Asheville. It looks like people have said it kind of looks like a schnauzer. We're not really sure exactly when you look at it.
Yeah.
God, because Asheville is so very obviously dealt with in this map. And it's really a shame. But you know what? I mean, I know people in this state who don't consider themselves liberals. They don't. They're just people trying to make a living in a very hostile environment for the middle class and lower ranks of society. And they are seeing now the damage that's being done to the the public schools were just teetering at best around here.
Oh yeah, right.
Now
they
go ahead and just stomp the fuck out of them. They want to pound them in. Ground while they're down. They want to take away all that money. That is associated to real people and real families and real children.
So
they're feeling the pain. The pain is here, baby. And
I'm
people
sorry
are all
that it's happening,
feelings.
But I hope it wakes up some people and encourages them to get off their butts and do something about it.
I don't know what else it could possibly be for, really, Jack. What the hell else are we going through this for? Other than to wake some people up who have been sleeping way too hard for way too long. I don't know what else it is.
The privatization, the privatization of the education system is a number one part of the, I guess you call it a conservative agenda. I'm not really sure how to categorize it anymore.
I call it reactionary because it's not conservative anymore. It's way beyond that. It's backward looking.
I call it really, in my mind, I always file it under assholes. But the thing is that they're...
It's anti-public.
What they want is they want to privatize the major funneling of state and government funds, and one of them is education. The other is the actual individual and unique, like in Michigan, they're taking the budget of cities and counties out of the hands of the duly elected people who were elected to take care of the tax funds that people who elected them into office have paid into, and they're basically piratizing it. They're pirates. Mm-hmm. They're form of pirates, and basically they're stealing the government on local levels that way. And of course, on national levels, they own D.C. They own the majority of legislation, and they own the White House. That's pretty obvious. I mean, this president has gone into,
corporatist.
Over.
Oh yeah,
and over.
I'm just. Oh my God, I can't even talk about Obama right now.
It's so upsetting.
I'm like, holy shit! I thought we were
Don't you feel betrayed? Don't you really
feel
betrayed?
Like, I thought we were at least going to have a Band-Aid for at least long enough to do something.
Right.
I never saw him as some kind of freaking, save us all, dude. He's not. He never was that. I never thought that.
Oh,
I thought he could be a bridge to a more sane approach to things, and he is just this weird, crazy mix of crazy right winger and, let's let the gays get married. Whoa, okay.
That's
I wanted to mention to you guys about the privatization before we got off that subject, that something very, very terrible is happening here in Asheville, and that is the state is privatizing our city water. And they're going to be privatizing it and taking it out of municipal control, and they are going to be passing it out.
Wow.
Basically our neighbors and stuff.
David Williams said this 2 years ago on this show. He said this.
Yeah, and it's happening here. It's I don't know. Maybe
I hope people hit the streets and hit them hard, because that is utterly, utterly ridiculous.
I don't see it. It's not happening here. There's no real backlash here. And that's what's really, truly terrifying to me, is that if you can come into Asheville and you can do this in a progressive town with as little backlash, I think everybody thinks that we're going to wait until 2014 or something and we're just going to magically make all these people disappear. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know
that
that's going to happen.
Well, we have to, the point is to raise a voice and bring people's awareness up, the common people, the community's awareness up. It's really tough to get it to the community. I'll say this again. In fact, today after I finish this broadcast, I'm going over to Publix for my weekly shopping. And I'll probably put my my Guido mask on backwards and walk in. People still look at you funny, but what it does is it asks them, what is that about? And then you have the opportunity to give somebody a small capsulated, don't go on and on, just an education that says, listen, you're not getting it right. If you think these are bad guys, well, no, don't exactly think, just don't know what they are, and the government is really afraid of them. Well, yeah, but aren't you afraid of your government yet, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Good point. Yep. Good.
If you can walk out the door, people use bumper stickers, okay, to say, my kid is an honor student, or I voted for Hillary, or whatever. Bumper stickers have been used forever. Well, you're going to have to become a bumper sticker. And we are, with buttons and T-shirts. But what gets their attention the most? If you wear a Guido mask backwards, you know, and people really start asking a question, what is that all about? And you may not agree with everything with Anonymous or Anon or Hacksterism.
But at least it'll get their minds thinking.
And it gives people an awareness, an understanding of, you know, well, these are the guys that help a guy by the name of Julian
Assange.
Yeah, thank you. Keep WikiLeaks going, even as he's sitting in a consulate, you know, begging asylum, so that he can blow the whistle on the things that are going wrong. And aren't you upset that we're standing in a grocery store where I'm about to pay for a quart of milk $3-something?
Mm-hmm.
$3-something for a quart of milk. A half gallon.
Even so, that's expensive. And do you buy organic?
I do because my sister tells me that everything else has terrible things in it. And
it has additives in it. It has artificial additives that cause cancer in cows. It's bad. I did a post on that last year.
You don't want to be drinking that stuff. You need to
drink pure milk, or you know, the unadulterated milk. And that's usually, not always, but it's usually organic. And that's why I encourage people to drink organic milk.
You know, if you live for any time or travel for any time, even in Western Europe, you'll find that that's the standard. There's no pasteurization. There's no... they're fresh, especially in Denmark. I mean...
They'll pasteurize certain milks over there, but they won't put additives in the way we do. We're antibiotic crazy in this country, and we're additive crazy. And what they do now, they have a thing called bovine growth hormone, BGH, treated milk. It's only allowed here in corporate America. The rest of the world has shut their doors to it. They say, we don't want any of that stuff. The reason being, when you treat cows with that stuff, it increases their milk production, but it also causes the nipples on the cows to become sore and infected. And some of that stuff is it's treated with antibiotics, but some of that infection, some of that pus, it's gross, but
it actually
ends up in the milk bucket. It's passed on to the consumer that way, and it's disgusting that they allow that here in this country.
Oh, thank you, Jack. I got to go grocery shopping.
Well, just buy organic, and you won't have that problem.
Okay. You sold me 100 times over.
Yeah, buy organic or buy non-BGH milk.
But here's the thing. It's in this country, it's all for corporation.
Right.
The IMF has its hooks solidly into the banking system in Western and growing in European, Eastern European countries, but they don't have their hooks into how things are dedicated to, like, the different government windows that are open towards, you know, like in Denmark, it's against the law to use an American product in farming because you can't trust. They had so much damage from
fertilizers. They're against Monsanto's nonsense.
Yes, and so the IMF is hamstrung over there with certain things, but in this country, nobody thinks the IMF is in this country. They think it's a European entity. And that's what was going on while everything was happening in Boston. When what went on in Boston went on, our Fed and legislators who have something to do with the Fed, including Elizabeth Warren, and our president sat down with members of the IMF and were discussing austerity measures in this country to help bolster the austerity measures that they put in place in Europe. And we can all see, if we're looking, what kind of good that is. So, you know, there are people in the streets in England. They're not. It's not getting on the news over here. There are people in Lisbon in the streets. I mean, there's a lot of, and it's not just people with Guido masks on either.
It's regular people that are being adversely affected by all this absolute nonsense. And, you know, they're being driven into poverty by ridiculous measures that don't need to be in the first place.
The elders in places like Northern Ireland, especially immigrants who have been having a hard time and who are being hit especially hard in Northern Ireland, like the Gypsy people or the Romney, and or wanderers, and the folks in get this, a whole segment in Spain, the teachers have been hit just absolutely cruelly. But all in all, and in Greece, everyone, and it's the austerity measures have put people out of their homes, have closed down businesses, they've made it so certain people can't even, cab drivers can't buy gas to make a living with. And the suicide rates, especially amongst elders, has skyrocketed. And this doesn't American news. It doesn't make American news.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, please.
All this is saying to people, You know, you can recount instance after instance of people who are not of the moneyed class taking the brunt of this while they don't pay their share into the commons the way that they need to be doing. Not only do they not pay their share, they take out of the common money that they're not to, money they have no right to whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's our money. That belongs to us. It's our common wealth in the country. They are not.
You know, there's no reason for any oil company to get subsidies because they're making record profits. It's utterly, utterly ridiculous. They're stealing from taxpayers.
We need to get that out. We need to hammer that.
Yes.
That these people are not paying their fair share. They want your money. They want your wealth. They want to drain it out of you like a cow at a factory farm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, there's not, this is a off an often raised topic, especially in certain places we love to go and talk to one another online, like Facebook with the Roundtree Room and stuff. And you'll hear people are posting, especially a bear. Pinko is ripe to speak about it. I'm of the mind anymore that borders and nationality is one of the great mistakes of the, we're talking species and planet wide, screw the countries anymore because it's all falling down. There isn't an ism, there isn't an ology or an archy or any of them that have worked. We need a brand new vision for this planet. We really do. For the successful survival of this planet and the regreening of the planet and the hope and future of the species.
We need an equitable
good word.
Plan. We need an equitable system.
I don't think that, you know, capitalism is a failure. Communism is a failure. All of the isms and ologies, all of them, they have been the failures that we've used. The idea that a failure is something that we have to, you know, hide or walk away from. People who are successful in life and in creating a lot in their life know that failure is the way you get to success.
Right,
and
very good point.
This is the positive part about this. We're in the midst of a crucible right now that all of these isms, ologies, and especially developed around money, commerce, equitability, all of that is right now, right in our, it's the fire. It's the stone that's burning right now in the crucible. And something is going to have to change in order for planet Earth. Well, planet Earth will do fine, but planet Earth's passengers, species Homo sapien, we're the ones that are going to go down, and we're taking so much beauty with us. But new beauty will replace us, and you can't. Nothing is ever really dead and gone forever. And now I'm going to be the booga booga woman, and talk in term of spirit, because frankly, all the rest of it is not working. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about caring for one another, kindness and humanity.
Right.
That is the biggest problem right now. We've lost our humanity, and it's really showing up in our faces.
Oh, it sure is. You know, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank both are more responsible for putting more people into poverty and enriching the rich, or more enriching the rich than any other two institutions on the planet today. They're both disgusting, and I hate them both. And I'll tell you what, you know, we do need a new spirit in this country and in the world. People have got to get away from this money hang-up, and they've got to start looking out for each other and for the welfare of the entire planet.
Well, you know, I like what the permaculturists talk about. There's a few of them up in Asheville, too. Permaculturists are people that are, it's like Russell Means was with Val Kilmer in the late 90s, began some of the total immersion schools to get into permaculture and the old ways. It's not that we're supposed to return to the days of our long gone ancestors, it's that we need to relearn the very harmonious ways they lived with the planet and how the planet runs itself.
Well, yeah, ecology is one component of that, and there are a number of others as well.
Permaculture is about living in harmony with the environment, no matter where it is and what it is.
Right.
And it makes you locally, we have this beautiful technology now that makes us globally sustainable with one another. It is what my community calls a planetary consciousness. I'm talking to you over this planetary consciousness, you and Kim, right now. And there's somebody, I guarantee you, down in India plugged in that's listening to it at the same time.
Right. It's great.
And so we have this wonderful ability to trade with one another. We've established the roots and the ability to make that trade. But what we have to focus, return our focus to, is local sustainability. And once we can establish that, I think that, you know, and it will take care of a commerce, or as they say, a financial or coin, commerce has to be reinvented. And I think the only way to do it is with local sustainability. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point, Gwen. And, you know, we've been on this kick for a long, long time, all of our lives, certainly, of bigness, big government, big labor, big business. And, you know, what has it done? It's enriched a few and impoverished very many millions. And, you know, there's something very flawed about that approach. And we're recognizing it, and we need the whole world to recognize it, too. And part of that will come from a lessening of the bigness and getting down to the smallness again, getting down to your own individual garden and things like that, your own sustainability regarding your neighbors.
It can bring a whole lot of new energy into, because like you and I and Kim were sitting here and we're talking mostly about national and international news, a little bit about local, but you know where it all begins? It begins in who we elect to our local governments. And,
yeah, very true.
And we keep forgetting that because we're deflected with all this money that's spent on the bigger elections
that tell us,
you know, a different story.
Well, like anything else, it begins from the ground up. You know, you can't just get to the top of the skyscraper without starting at the ground first, and that's what we need to do. We need to keep working on the ground and push our way up.
That's an idea. I have to ask you, the both of you, I'm wondering what your opinions are on Israel attacking Syria.
Go ahead, Kim.
Kim, are you with us? I think Kim may not.
Maybe we lost her. I mentioned to you pre-show, Gwen, I myself haven't paid that much attention to it. I'm waiting for it to develop a little more. Now, the fact that Israel has attacked Syria is nothing new. I mean, they've been at it for years and years and years and years. The extent
of
their attack.
They're protecting their northern border, I guess.
Right. Well, they're attacking especially to help the rebel forces. And that's you know, could be good or bad, depending on what the rebel forces turn out to be. One thing's for sure, that Assad regime is corrupt, it's terrible, and you know what? It's murderous. It's just terrible for its own citizenry.
It kills
its own citizens.
Another example of a despot we helped put into place and that we're willing to support as long as he would do our bidding. That's exactly what Assad is. And it's beginning to look like that's what most of these idiots in Israel in the Knesset are, too. I mean, they're a bunch of idiots.
Likud party is dominated by pro-military people, much like a lot of the American government is, you know. It's the military-industrial complex on a worldwide scale. It's just... I think that, like everywhere else, the average people don't support it necessarily, but somehow or another, the Likud keeps grabbing seats and keeps grabbing the prime ministership, and it has devastating consequences in a lot of ways for a lot of the people, including the Palestinians and the people that they're supposed to be living in harmony with, but aren't, you know.
Well, yeah, that's quite true. And it's also breaking up... It's highly polarizing Israel too. All of these countries at war and with such change going on. I mean, and especially the idea of war continuing and more war being suggested is polarizing the countries in the Mideast, internally polarizing them.
Right.
Here in this country, I mean, there isn't a time, there are some children that were born, you know, in war and have never left it, you know, I mean, it's like being born as you and I were with the nuclear age. And the other thing here too that is pounding away and keeps making strides towards go to hell, we're here, we're going to stay here, is the National Rifle Association and its ability to bend and sway our legislators into not doing anything to make the communities and countries safer for people, but to keep pushing.
They want everything exactly how it is today. They don't want any changes whatsoever. They encourage gun ownership.
They want sales for the gun makers.
It's insane.
All they want.
And you know, I heard
Republicans that are doing this, several of them have gone home to the town meetings. And
they caught hell.
Well, it's like this one woman, Kelly Ayotte. She runs away from meeting with it. I mean, they're cowards. They can't stand up to what they've done, and they have no answer. And it's just as true as I was really surprised to see film footage on, what's his name, John McCain. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Coward. Just a coward about it. So I'm like, you know, wow.
I'll tell you, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And here's a good case of it right now with the gun lobby versus the American people. The overwhelming majority of American people favor some kind of universal background check. And, you know, the NRA opposes it every step of the way. And, you know, I didn't hear all the details, but what I did hear upset me so bad I couldn't even continue watching it. I saw a report this a few days ago that the NRA had a meeting in Texas, and they were warning the parents of the Newtown shooting victims. They warned them not to come out publicly with any more statements. How audacious is that? That is so disgusting.
It's pretty incredible.
Insensitive.
Wayne LaPierre also last week in a speech actually said this. He asked the question that how many Bostonians wish they had a gun 2 weeks ago? That's just preaching exactly what the people who want the sanity in this country that's saying there are too many guns and guns in the wrong hands. This is a guy that just in one question he posed exemplified the reason that we are looking
insane.
It's like, seriously, you dumb son of a bitch?
I know, he's unbelievable.
Serious?
He's unbelievable.
And all the time, I have to say, when this is such a serious, important issue that needs to be addressed, at the same time, it's the one flag right now. It's the one issue that the president can use to defuse all the other issues that he is on the opposite side of. Because he can
He's not handling it very skillfully. At first, he came out, which was good. But, you know, he's kind of been fumbling the ball a little bit, and it's too bad because it is a very important issue, and he has the overwhelming majority of the American public on the side against the NRA, because those people are extreme and they're crazy.
Well, and basically the majority of them are just out there to push sales for huge. There are two major manufacturers on the planet. What are they? The first one is the war machines, which is what we're talking about, gun production. And the other is a symptomatic treating of illness through pharmaceuticals. And
they're both out of control. They both hold too much sway, and they're both out
of
control.
Death merchants. They're both death merchants. You know, I got to tell you, let me say this as an intuitive woman. I think somewhere in several of these pharmaceutical houses, there's cures. or for eradication of cancer cells of many different kinds. It would not
right.
serve the profit of the board for
mm-hmm.
them to
right.
put them on the market.
Well, very true. Like for, you know, for years we've suspected that they could have cars that do 75 to 80 miles a gallon and not have to waste all that money on petroleum that's overpriced. But we have suspected, and no one's proved it yet, but we've suspected for a long time, and I think we're accurate in our suspicions, that it's been held back from the public, these radical changes in engine manufacturing and car manufacturing, just to benefit the profits of the oil companies.
Well, and I would put the oil companies and energy resources under the guise of the war machine.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, because that's why we're in these countries, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To get
exactly.
the bigger share of profits for what keeps people living and breathing so that they can work harder and make more profits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's
yeah, and they demand and they get subsidies, even though they're making record profits, they demand and they get these subsidies for supposed oil exploration, and I don't see much of it. And when we do see it, it's flawed because they end up polluting the environment as they go along.
Yeah. Well, and there's absolutely no accountability. Take a look at Bangladesh. That's all you have to say is Bangladesh.
Yeah.
I mean, all those people gone. It's like the shirt tail fire in New York. Bangladesh should serve as the moment of uprising of workers in India and saying, oh, no more. Just
yeah.
absolutely no more. They live in such poverty as it is.
Oh,
you know?
Bangladeshis are so, and they've been in poverty for many, many, many decades. It's terrible the way people live over there and the way we will throw them little crappy jobs, and they'll have to grab them because there's nothing else for them. We exploit those people something awful.
It's incredible. And this week, what's really crazy, in 2000, I guess between 2000 and 2011, and this is just going on and on, 16.1% of Americans aged between 18 and 29 are out of work in this country. That means college kids are getting out of school and they've got no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do that, especially if they've gotten themselves a decent education.
Right. They got to pay off that education cost.
Yeah,
and it's terrible.
They're all going to begin defaulting and saying, fuck you. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I would. But I would turn back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour, or what I had said about the fire rock in the crucible right now, of everything that's happening on this planet. I think that the kids getting out of school, the youth out of work, I think this is a huge...
Well, it's not working.
Catalyst. No, this is a tinderbox building. It's not just
right.
America. It is global.
Right. It's worldwide. Yeah.
It's global, except for India and one other country. And I think it's China, to be honest with you. But China, it's not really the same thing when you're talking industry. That's sort of forced industry over there.
Well,
let's
right.
Not,
and India, it's low pay that drives that economy. It's, you know, they
yeah.
get by with her over there with that.
But this is a big part of the tinderbox that's out there. Things there are, if you're a chess player, And you know how you set up a board prior to a game, and you think of strategies, and you take a look at your adversary, and you try to size them up and see what their strategy is going to be. If you're into that kind of thinking modality, we are set up for a huge. There's a huge collision coming.
Oh yeah,
a very big one.
It's going to have enormous consequences. Both good and bad. And I hope the bad will be minimal, but you know, I'm not too optimistic about it.
Yeah, Kim, did we get you back yet? Are you with us yet?
Kim?
Kim?
We lost her somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah, we did. That was Kim G with AWOP Radio. You can find AWOP, AWOP, A World of Progressive Radio, .com. You can find her over there. She does a wonderful job on Fridays at 2 p.m. She also sits in with Kenny Pick. I forget the name of Kenny's show. Our big thanks to Kim for being with us today at the beginning of the show. Maybe she'll call back in.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
We've still got like 10 minutes here. Is there anything this week you see heading in that people ought to be paying attention to, Jack?
Well, you know, I think people should watch C-SPAN a lot. A lot of it's politicians.
Oh, yeah.
You know, placating for the camera, but a lot of it is real testimony and real vital stuff too. It's a good idea to watch C-SPAN. We hardly ever put it forth here on this program. We've talked about other sources of news, but C-SPAN is the real thing. I mean, it's Congress in session, both the House and the Senate, and sometimes they replay stuff. It's very vital if you really want to see it as it's happening. It's invaluable for that
and
purpose.
It teaches us really who our politicians are. When you
mm-hmm.
see a politician walk up and stand and address his colleagues, like you can on C-SPAN, well, then you're basically getting a really good idea of how they act, what their
exactly.
true politics are,
right.
according to the vote that's on the floor. And
mm-hmm.
not enough people do watch C-SPAN. You're right. My sister's an addict. She watches
yeah.
it all the time. She's very well informed because of it.
Yeah, good for her. That's great, because it's a great place to be if you want to know really what's going on and what the current arguments are. Now, on the other hand, we tend to fall back to places like MSNBC, Link TV, Current TV to a certain extent. You know, we watch that stuff, but a lot of that is industry. It's people that take that information and they interpret it and they put it forth, you know, to you from that point. So it's a little bit colored compared to actually seeing it for yourself and drawing your own conclusions.
Gotcha. Yeah. It takes a certain amount of experience to gather what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not extraordinarily, it wouldn't be, just to add in here a little piece of news I ran across as we've been talking, it wouldn't be extraordinarily surprising to say that John McCain's calling for help as well as the Israelis bombing the Syrians. We should be in there too, working with the Syrian rebels. This guy is a real warmonger. That's the one
thing.
He's
a neocon to the max, no doubt about it. And Lindsey Graham is his little boy puppet that sits on his lap and, oh, yes, John, whatever you want, I'll say it too. You know, and Kelly Ayotte does the same thing. Those three are the worst neocons around. And they both, they're all a bunch of parrots. They parrot each other.
Jesus. Well, it's getting on down the time, the end of the show. I want to remember to thank our sponsors at Roundtree 7. That's Roundtree and the number 7.com. You can go on over there and find a lot of fine writers and topical issues that they're writing about, the stuff we talk about here, and more. You'll find Jack Jodell over there, too, and Jack Jodell's Saturday Afternoon Post blog.
Right, you bet. I post more than Saturdays, but that's what I called it. And while I'm at it and while I think of it, I noticed that one of my favorite blogs that I like to go to fairly often is called Fair and Unbalanced. It's by a very intelligent writer by the name of Burr Deming. And
yes,
he's been on our program, you know, it's been quite a while, but he's been on our program. But one thing I noticed, he did a format change on his site.
Yeah.
And he now has podcasts. So
well,
it's great. Burr is really
wonderful. It used to be a kind of a hard site to navigate.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a little better now, but, you know, if you look, I think it's the right-hand column. They have podcasts that you can go to, and you can listen to his articulation. He is a very articulate and very, very smart man. His reasoning is unbeatable. He's a great guy.
I don't always agree with Burr, but I always respect his opinion, and I think
exactly.
He writes some pretty damn fine stuff. Well, one of the things we do have to do is find a way to build a bridge. Amongst ourselves here, whether we're progressives or we're radicals or who we are, people who think and know things are out of kilter. We really do need to build these bridges, socialists,
right.
Loyalists, whoever you are, you know, as long as you've got an ear to lend. And I'd like to take this moment, too, to also do a little plug for. We have a new show on Saturdays, which is off to a really great start. It's called Under the Moon with Joni Ross, the astrologer. She's doing a great job. And a lot of people are listening to her show. Very happy about that. And also congratulate a bear. Pinko the Bear is on at it's 3 a.m. Wednesdays Eastern time. It's midnight his time. Out on the West Coast, but Pinko the Bear show, and I know people are real happy to hear Pinko again. So I want to say kudos and props to those.
This
folks.
Is all on Blog Talk Radio, is that correct?
It's all on the Here Be Monsters channel.
Oh, very good. Okay, yeah, there we go. Great, great.
It's all with us, and every dang one of us is over there, blogs and radio shows and video blogs. All of us are at the Commons Project Network. You can find us online. And it is just an anchor for folks of like mind to put their message out. If you have a place you can go where you can find many different resources on subjects you're interested in, well, that's a good thing. And that's the Commons Project Network. So don't forget to check it out.
Definitely. You know, knowledge is power, and every week in every way, every one of our posts, every one of our radio programs, it all adds to the knowledge base that is so desperately needed throughout the world. And knowledge is power, and every week we get a little tiny bit more powerful, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, getting the word out. And also, I'd like to bring up something, too, that is very dear to Kim G, who was on. I was going to ask her to talk about this before. But Kim is going to be, with the help of, like, David, myself, and all of us who are – I didn't live stream us today on YouTube because I didn't have time before I got on. But I will more and more be doing that so that people have the venue of YouTube to listen to us too. But Kim is going to be building a resource library, if you will, over on the Commons Project Network. One of the goals all of us have over there is helping people who want to bring their voice out to the public and
great.
Helping them with the tools and showing them the way as much as we can, a mentorship program, if you will, for independent alternative media. So that's the Commons Project Network. And this has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. And please, folks, give a look over to our last sponsor, DaughtersOfIsis.com. It's the fragrant memories of our ancestors. So please, and thanks once again to Kim for joining us. And Jack, thank you for being with me.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning in this week. And we look forward to having a forward-looking week for everybody. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Very good.
Okay, well.
Thanks to Kim and everybody that's listened today. All the people in the chat room and everything else, you know, we appreciate all of your input and your individual efforts to make this a better world.
Yeah, especially the podcast people. Thank you for taking a listen. We really appreciate it. That's our show, and we will be back with you next Sunday.
Look forward to it. See you then.